Hi, thank you all for coming, especially this early in the morning on a second conference day. We had a great time at Azure Econ yesterday. I was in this room a lot, and I think if you were in this room as well, you'll find some parallels between our story and that of Bill and Matt from Wayfair, who talked about globalization of Azure. I also enjoyed Kishore's talk a lot about creating Azure incentives. He stressed upon something that will not return as clearly in our talk, about finding allies, creating a clear Azure vision, and making sure you have senior management support. But I do think that's really important. And if you have not seen his talk, I really recommend watching it when the videos become available. Before we start, I'd like to give you a short summary of what we're about to talk about. We work for the biggest bank in the Netherlands, ING, and we will tell you why we chose to work as Azure's, and why we implemented that within our organization. We'll tell you what work we actually pick up as Azure's and why, and we'll share our journey and the steps that we have taken to get here. We want to share this with you because when we were starting out like a year ago, there was of course the O'Reilly Google book, and it was a great resource. And it was really inspiring, and it helped us get along. But at some point, we were looking at other types of organizations that were a little bit more like ours to see how they implemented Azure. We have to deal with quite some regulation. We have an application landscape with a lot of technologies, also older ones, including mainframes. And our organizational structure is a bit different. So we want to add to that information for others to use. So let's start.
So in the past years, we had a lot of reliability issues, most notably in 2014. Our banking customers in the Netherlands rely a lot on our online banking services. They use it as their main source of checking the balance or doing transactions. In 2014, we made the headlines with being the banking platform with the highest number of outages. That's really bad for the customers because it's like not having your wallet around right at the moment you want to buy your tickets for Beyonce or for Azure Econ. So our outages created large reputational damage for us.
And beside that reputational damage, working for a bank also means that you could potentially lose a lot of money when, say, the dealing room is down. So that's not as nice as well. And unfortunately, we're not at the stage yet that we can live cast our incident resolution like GitHub did. So we're there to help improve our reliability as SREs. So before we continue, we want to introduce ourselves. My name is Jana, and I work as an IT chapter lead for one of the SRE teams in ING. Being an IT chapter lead entails that I spend 40% of my time doing HR work and 60% of my time on work for the team. Before that, I used to work on IT strategy as a business manager to our CIO. And before that, I used to work as a dev engineer on back-end systems of debit and credit cards.
And my name is Robin van Zijl. It's very hard to pronounce, I know. And I'm the product owner to the team, so I basically decide what a team does, and I protect the team's focus. Before this, I was a DevOps engineer for mobile banking. So I told you about our outages in 2014, but luckily there's more to us than just outages. We are a global financial service provider with more than 35 million customers worldwide over 40 countries. We have 50,000 employees worldwide, and we have 12,000 employees in the Netherlands, and that's where we work. We work at one of the SRE teams in the Netherlands, and we have SRE teams in the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, and Australia as well. So within the Netherlands, we're responsible for the online services. And we have a lot of active customers in the Netherlands that use mobile banking more than 1 billion times last 2016. And they check the balance, they split the bill, they do all their financial administration through mobile banking. Also, they use internet banking. We have 6.1 million internet banking customers, and that's a really high number, considering that we have 16 million people living in the Netherlands. They log in 1.4 million times a day, so they are very active. We have two data centers with more than 70,000 virtual machines in it, and we use over 14 petabytes of storage. So I want to tell you something about our availability. In this graph, you see three bars. The one on your left says something about the payment channel ideal, and we use this channel to do some payments online in, for example, web shops. In the middle, you see our payment channels through the internet banking, so the availability for doing a payment to the internet banking platform. On the right side, you see the availability of performing a payment transaction through mobile banking. If you zoom in into the bar in the middle, it consists of three layers. The top one says something about outages because of incidents. The middle one says something about outages due to change. And the lower one says something about our availability. And as you see, our availability in July was around 96.84%. So that's not far like the 5 nines Google says you have to have, or like our regulator says, the 99.7%. In the middle one, the 0.23% is outages because of change. So we would really wish to be highly available, active, 24/7, but we're not there yet. And we try to solve it through SRE.
So why is SRE specifically the key to improving reliability? Because you can improve reliability in more ways than just this type of engineering. Well, it kind of fits in with the strategy we have as a company right now. The banking industry is transforming, and there are more players on the market, or they are appearing on the market, than there were before. At first our competition would just be banks, and now we have stuff like Apple Pay popping up, and we have to make sure we are resistant to those kind of forces. Our customers have different expectations. They expect something that's available 24/7, and they show a change in customer behavior. Customers have liquid expectations, so if, say, company A offers an online service that's very fluent and easy to use, they might expect that same service out of company B. An example of that would be how Uber changed the taxi business. It became very easy to order a taxi and pay for it. And now customers expect a similar experience in banking. So we needed to do something to make sure we can keep up with everything that's happening around us. For us, the key to that was our agile transformation. So we've been working with an agile way of working in IT for a longer period of time. I think for the past 5 years at least. But 2 years ago, we decided to do that transformation on the business side of our company also. So we started working in biz DevOps squads. And what you actually saw is that these teams became end-to-end responsible for their services, and it changed the entire company. There's a different take on management. Managers have to be more about content, and they have to facilitate teams more. There's fewer handovers because business and IT are in the same teams. And there's really a focus on being responsible also for both build and run. Because business and IT have merged more, and everyone starts to see that we can make a difference through engineering, we also celebrate an engineering culture where we, as engineers, go to conferences more. There's actually quite a lot of people from ING here today, which is really cool. It wasn't like that a couple of years ago. We organize meetups, we do hackathons, and there's a real strong focus on engineering. We solve problems through automation and innovation, and we try to adopt best practices from the tech industry. An example of that would be continuous delivery, when we started with that a couple of years ago, but also site reliability engineering. What we usually do is when something new pops up, we try and see if it works. So we also started with Esri through doing a pilot first, and it turned out pretty okay. So within the domestic bank or the retail bank where we work, we have the Spotify model of working, and the BizDevOps squads work together in tribes. Tribes are based on groupings of customer functionality. So we have a tribe for mortgages, a tribe for business lending, and I think in total we have over 10 tribes, like around 15 or so. And like I said, these teams are really end-to-end responsible for their services. As SREs, we don't deliver end customer functionality, so we are our own silo without a tribe. This way we have a horizontal function of enabling the entire engineering organization, and this means that we can also pick up problems or solve issues that a lot of people are dealing with that they cannot always solve themselves because they are part of their tribe. So our core focus is really enabling and supporting the rest of the organization. Our team has a product owner, which is Robin, and a chapter lead, me, and 5 other engineers. And together we support 1,800 or 1,700 engineers. Because our organization is quite large, we get a lot of requests and questions. And we take care of a lot of those, so the engineers in our team can truly focus on engineering and are not bothered too much with service requests. It is quite nice to see that while we were here, actually quite some requests came in to use our tooling. And since we were here and not busy dealing with those, the engineers in the team also picked that up, so that was great. We also spend some time on our internal branding, so making sure that everyone knows how and where to find us. And also that's part of protecting the team. We really feel that quite some time goes into that type of work. So if you're starting out with SRE, we really recommend appointing a product owner, either full-time or part-time, depending on the size and way of working within your organization.
So I would like to zoom in into the challenges we try to solve through site reliability engineering. First of all, the teams now use a centralized monitoring system which consists of Graphite and Elk, but it's not performing and the availability is not really good as well. So they can't rely on this monitoring as their primary source of their alerting and monitoring for their services. Because it's a centralized system, they have a centralized team that maintain the solution. So the teams, the BizDevOps teams are not able to fix things if something's broken. So they don't feel responsible for this monitoring, and by this not using it and not having this monitoring on their services. We use a centralized alerting solution, which is very basic. It simply says if your service is working or not, and then it sends an alert through a chain of applications until it ends up at a dashboard of our master control room. Once an operator finds the alert, searches for the documentation created by the team, and then calls the responsible engineer. And on average, it takes around 69 minutes until an alert ends up at an engineer. And that only counts for our major incident. We're not talking our minor incident here. So you can imagine what it does to our MTTR and our availability of our most important services. Once you get this alert and you're being called by our master control room, it's very bad to get paged at night for this kind of alerts. But it's even worse to get paged for incidents that you have seen before or that your colleagues have seen before. So And that's what's happening right now. We do have a root cause analysis process, but we lack a blameless postmortem culture within ING. And we lack a learning organization, so we don't have any platform to share knowledge and share findings of incidents. If we solve incidents, we do this in war rooms, and that's a pretty good way to solve incidents because you sit next to your neighbors or your endpoints and your service providers, and you could solve your incidents with them. But since we're a global organization and we're transforming our services to and service our customers globally, and we create our new services globally as well, that's not really an option anymore to solve incidents in war rooms that are only in the Netherlands. So we need to find a way to collaborate globally. Lastly, our teams are not using white box monitoring to define their availability. We use black box monitoring for measuring the availability of our business services, and it's perfectly fine. But our business services are offered to our customers by a chain of applications, and teams are not aware of the performance and availability of their own service, and thus are not in control of their own service.
So we told you what issues we actually want to solve, and I'll tell you how we try to do that. I'm sure you're probably all aware of the Dickerson service reliability hierarchy, as also published in the O'Reilly book. If not, it's a hierarchy of needs for reliability, starting out with monitoring as the foundation. We're great fans of this hierarchy, because it really helped us in understanding what work to pick up as SREs. It helped us to collaborate more with SREs all over the world. And it helps us in explaining what work we do in an organization where not everyone knows what SRE actually is. When I say it helped us in collaborating with global SREs, We had workshops together with the SREs from Belgium and Spain and the Netherlands. The guys in Australia are just starting out. And we tried to think about the common ground we all had as SRE teams. And we very quickly ended up with this hierarchy, stating that all work picked up by SREs within ING should be relatable to this pyramid. So I'll see if I can show you how we help it in explaining the work we do. So first and foremost, we of course do engineering. So we build tooling to enable the biz DevOps squads. At the moment, we are working on Prometheus to introduce that as a monitoring tool, and Robin will come back to that in a few minutes. And we are working on getting Mattermost up and running in a secure fashion on mobile phones as a chat ops tool. We'll also come back to that a little bit later. Like Robin said, we are still lacking a blameless postmortem culture, but we're starting to facilitate other teams in doing postmortems. Before we started doing that, we did a few ourselves, and we learned a lot from doing that. What we found out was that sometimes, or basically most of the times in the postmortems we did, there was too much time in between the incident and the postmortem wrap-up, which actually made recommendations maybe no longer applicable, or a sense of urgency was gone from the meeting. In our case, we have to talk to a lot of people since our application chains can be quite complex and long. But we have figured out that we need to take more action and really put time aside to do the first stages of the postmortem quicker. We also found out that the cultural change that is required for doing things in a blameless way is something we should not underestimate. So we had it happen that during a meeting, we had a couple of engineers and a manager would also be present. And for some reason, it started getting hostile and not so blameless. because engineers, well, they acted differently with a manager around, or they were not aware that it was supposed to be blameless. So what we've learned from that is that we should really set the context for such a meeting at the beginning and really invest in sharing what a blameless postmortem is and double check if we ourselves are as blameless as we should be. In addition to that, we do work that relates to the entire hierarchy, so we educate others about SRE, and we do monthly demos for the entire engineering organization. At first, not a lot of people showed up, because people usually attend demos in their own tribes, but after a few times, word was spreading, and people were actually coming, and it's really great to see that engineers from a lot of different domains end up in the same room to discuss reliability-related issues. So if you're struggling with how to make sure your internal branding for SRE improves, we really recommend doing demos for a large audience. We also facilitate the creation of more SRE teams. So in the company, there's a few people who are reading the book and wanting to do something themselves, but like within tribes. So we talk to those people, explain what we do, and explain what we all agreed on as SREs. We also invite them to join our local SRE community. It's a bi-weekly meeting where the SRE teams from the Netherlands come together and do demos and discuss issues that concern them. We had one yesterday, but a lot of people in the meeting are actually here, so that one is a special edition at SREcon, I guess. I want to stress that we are not on call like the SREs at Google can be when they onboard services. We've spent a lot of time in investing in the you build it, you run it mindset in DevOps teams, and we don't want to take away from that at all. So biz DevOps teams always remain responsible for their own build and run. Of course, we can be on call for our own services, but we will not onboard other people's services. I'll also share what other SRE teams within the Netherlands are working on. So our colleagues at the Wholesale Bank and Infra are jointly working together on an alert transporter to make sure that all engineers can receive their alerts much more quickly and more targeted. And they have based that on OpenDuty, which offers other advantages in the incident resolution process, like on-call scheduling. SREs at our infrastructure department are looking into growing our chaos engineering capabilities. We do DR tests to make sure that we know how to survive during crisis, but that's often a part of that is often done manually because of our application landscape with quite a large percentage of active passive still there. And we also have to prove that we can do DR to our regulators. So we are trying to see how chaos engineering practices can fit into a world that we have. So they are working on that. And our colleagues at Wholesale are also looking into open source license management, because sometimes engineers are not aware of what consequences they bring in when they start using open source software. So that's interesting as well. And again, the other SREs join in, do demos and do tell stories within their organizations. One of the SRE team at the Wholesale Bank actually does their work partly in the war room, so they know what's going on in their organization, and we all participate in the same communities.
So we've told you that within ING, excuse me, we've told you that within ING, engineering is very important. So it is for our team. The purpose of Jana and me is to get focus within our own team on the thing they like, and what they like is engineering. So assuming that we have engineering people in this room and people that love IT, let's talk some IT. Like I told you before, we lack a good white box monitoring for our services. So we wanted to provide the teams with a simple, low maintenance monitoring solution. And for this, we chose Prometheus, because Prometheus is high scalable, it has an alerting mechanism and dashboarding mechanism and a large online community. But as within ING, as you want to provision a service, you need to prove to our regulators that you're in control. And we do that by creating documentation, believe it or not. And creating documentation is like having a lot of toil. And we wanted to take away this toil for the teams. So we created a pipeline that teams can use. And within this pipeline, we take care of all the toil, provisioning of machines, and the generic configuration. So we provide the team with a DTAP environment with Prometheus, Grafana, and Alert Manager. And they just have to click the button and they will have their own monitoring instances up and running. And they're ready to do the monitoring and alert to three pre-configured channels, mail, SMS, and chat ops. And through chat ops, we want to provide them a way to collaborate globally, but also get their alerts on their chat ops channel. And we chose for MetaMost because there's a lot of confidential data going through the chat ops channels. And MetaMost runs on premise. And on that way, we try to take control. So, a large part of our team were actually part of another team, and the team was called Chain Management Internet, and they were responsible for all online services offered to our customers. So that meant they made a lot of time in the war room, and that doesn't really fit with our biz DevOps culture and our you build it, you run it mindset. So in March 2016, we stopped doing Chain Management Internet and we started doing a pilot for Site Reliability Engineering. September last year, we ended the pilot. We visited as a recon and we got management commitment, senior management commitment, to continue with doing SRE. So the pilot was successful and we continued being a real team.
And after that, in the fall, we created a roadmap and a vision. We also went back to senior management with that to also collect their thoughts on it. A new product owner was assigned, so it was Robin, and I came in as a chapter lead. We started working on Prometheus and doing the postmortems I talked about before. Then by the end of winter, start of spring, we started working on ChatOps. We came to MetaMost through a tool selection hackathon where we invited engineers from across the organization to join in. We compared various tools, so we compared Slack, HipChat, and MetaMost. Like Robin said, we ended up with MetaMost mostly through security concerns. But also because it's an open source version of Slack, there's an active community, it offers a lot of third-party integration. So we're trying to get that working. We started our local guilds, we collaborated with global SREs. We also did a company visit at the Air Traffic Control Center, inspired by one of the later chapters in the O'Reilly book. That was really interesting. When we asked them if we could visit, at first a friend of mine who works there, he didn't understand why we wanted to do that as an IT company. But in the end, we're all in the business of continuity. And it was really inspiring. They do a lot of research on failures, or at least the air traffic control in the Netherlands. They have their own system for that. They work more in terms of a just culture instead of blameless culture. And they research every incident. And when they find something that's applicable to other air traffic controllers. They actually publish it in a magazine that's spread around in the company quarterly. And they also publish their incident research online. And I think that's something that was very inspiring to us as a way of spreading how you can learn from failure. We also expanded the team with one more SRE. This was an internal hire. This was an engineer who was working on the mobile banking platform and has been working there for a lot of time. He has a lot of credibility within the organization, a lot of respect from other engineers. And we decided to do this because then the team would grow in terms of knowledge of more knowledge about one of our core platforms. And whenever someone else was thinking about reliability and the right mindset, his name would often pop up as the example. So it was great to have him join the team because it made us that much stronger. And this summer, we spent a lot of time on spreading the word about SRE. Robin and I went to quite some management meetings in explaining what we actually do, what our purpose is. We worked on our communication materials, so we are active on a lot more internal company websites and places. We started working on training materials, and right now we're actually figuring out how to scale and how to grow. There's so much to do and to improve, and we're trying to see how we can do that with 7 or more engineers against the 1,700 in our organization. So if you have any thoughts on that or experience the same thing within your company, we'd love to chat during one of the breaks. And we're making Prometheus production ready. We're almost there. There's teams lined up to use our applications. So we're trying to, we're starting to harvest what we've worked on for the past year. A few more takeaways. What we've seen is that with the people in our team who spent a lot of time in war rooms and with our hire, we feel that mindset is super important because it helps us gaining credibility within the organization, and we feel that we can really change something with people with the right mindset. Like said before, we recommend assigning a product owner to truly keep team focus on engineering and to spread the SRE love. When we were asking the engineers in our teams, a while ago, how much time they thought they spent on engineering, they actually said 80%, and we're really proud of that, because for us, in terms of ops engineering, a lot of work is still, a lot of time is still spent on doing paperwork. So we were very happy when they said that percentage. And consider what mix works well for you in terms of new and existing hires. For the point we are at now, I like the internal hiring because it makes sure we get more traction in a domain if an engineer is well respected there. But on the other hand, if you bring in external hires, you bring in new knowledge and a fresh view on things.
So in terms of process, create a roadmap as a team, not just as a product owner. If you have the commitment of your team on your roadmap, it's very easy to manage your stakeholders. Learn from others through online resources or at conferences like this, or company visits like the air traffic control. Last year, we visited SRECon right here in Dublin as a team, and actually we started creating our roadmap just in front of the hotel at the terrace. Prepare to spend time and explaining and promoting SRE and your tooling. You want to increase your reliability, so it's very important that people know of your existence and of your knowledge, and also know where to find your tooling, so you can increase your reliability by the tooling you created. And last but not least, beer o'clock is great for team bonding. It can be something different than beer, but beer works great for us. And yeah, it's not a surprise, right? So it worked great for us, and we started out as a new team, and one of the first things we did was just do some drinks outside of business hours. So in terms of technology, make it attractive for others to use your tooling. So like I tried to explain to you in the IT section, we have a lot of paperwork, a lot of administration, and it's fairly difficult within ING to get your service up and running for your customers. So we took away the pain of this toil for them, so it makes it easier for them to use. And if it's easier for the teams to use your tooling, it's easier for you to increase your reliability. Practice what you preach. So we could have made the choice to just provision a machine, deploy the binary of Prometheus, and say goodbye. But then we took shortcuts on security and reliability, and at the long term, it just is a risk for your continuation of your services. But this takes time. It took us a year to get to the point that we're nearly on production, and that's mainly because we wanted to take away the pain for these teams. And consider scalability. Our centralized solution isn't performing because it wasn't set up scalable. Ownership is very important as well. We've seen that teams doesn't take ownership of services they can't control, so they won't use it.